All right, well, welcome to our Good Friday Chapel. We are not going to talk about the E word. We're not going to talk about the E word. We will not use it for this entire chapel. That will not come out of our mouths. Instead, we are going to talk about the G word. Because this weekend is not about, it's not about Easter bunnies. It's not about rabbits. It's not about eggs. It's not about jelly beans. It's not about pink dresses or any cute stuff like that. That's not what this weekend is all about. Instead, this weekend is about a word that starts with the letter G. A word that starts with the letter G, and it has more than three letters. More than three letters. A word starts with the letter G and has more than three letters. If you think you know for sure the answer, and only if you think you know for sure the answer, please raise your hand, and I will call upon a good volunteer. Your name, please?
Autumn,
okay. What do you think the correct answer is?
Good Friday.
It is not. I'm sorry, you do not win the prize. Sam, yes, sir. It is not about God because God has three letters. And Pastor Sean said it had more than three letters. You're going to have to think.
Giving?
It is not about giving. No, it's not about giving. Yes, sir? It is about the gospel. Yes, it is about the gospel. Very good. It is about the gospel. It is about the gospel. And today we're going to talk about the gospel. And in order to talk about the gospel, we are going to go to an Old Testament book that has a story of a great big fish. So go to the Old Testament book that has a story about a great big fish so that we can talk about the gospel. Now some of you right now are going, what book are they going to? Some are going to a book and others aren't. So please look to your left and look to your right and see if your neighbor knows what they're doing. Because the book that you're going to should start with the letter J. It should, keep your mouth closed, it should start with the letter J. And the book that you go to with the letter J has how many chapters? Please hold your hand up if you know how many chapters it has. And when your hand is up, hold up the number of fingers that it has. The number of fingers. It has the number of fingers. How many chapters does the book have? Okay, I see a correct answer. You are all correct if you have not five and not three, but four fingers up. Four fingers. And that is the book of... Say it. Jonah. The book of Jonah. Now, please listen to me. You're getting there. Everyone's getting there. I'll give you a minute then. Let's go ahead and make sure everyone's at the book of Jonah. We're all turning to the book of Jonah. It is one of the 12 minor prophets. One of the 12 minor prophets. I think it is the fifth one. Are we there? Help your neighbor get there. If you're not, turn to your left and right and love your neighbor and help your neighbor find that book. You should be in the Old Testament. And help your neighbor find that. Help your neighbor find that book. We're looking at the book of Jonah. Everyone looking at your Bible. Now, sometimes when we think of the book of Jonah, we immediately think of, and you tell me one thing that we think of when we think of the book of Jonah, we think of a great fish. That's right. We think of a great fish. But you know what? The book of Jonah is not about a great fish. It is not about a great fish. It's not about a great fish at all. And just like sometimes when we think about that E word that we're not using today, we think about all those other things like bunnies, rabbits, eggs, pink dresses, white gloves, all that kind of stuff. And we don't need to think about that this weekend. Instead, we want to talk about the gospel. The gospel. And today, as we look at the book of Jonah, and because I know that you guys are so sharp, you are going to help me learn more about God. There are three things that we're going to see in the book of Jonah on my whiteboard. We're going to see God's sovereignty. We're going to see God's justice. And we're going to see God's love or God's mercy or God's grace. Three attributes of God. An attribute of God is something that describes who God is. An attribute is something that describes who God is. For example, we could do the attributes of human beings. Attributes of human beings. You're either a male or a
female.
That would be an attribute of a human being. It describes who you are. As we look at this story in the book of Jonah, we're going to run into God's sovereignty, we're going to run into God's justice, and we're going to run into God's love. And every time we talk about His sovereignty, or His justice, or His love, we're going to score it along the way here. We're going to score it. And as we go through the story, if I miss one, you're going to raise your hand, and you're going to say, "You missed one, Pastor," and you're going to tell me what they are when I missed it. All right, are we prepared for those instructions?
Sure.
All right. Sort of. All right, a little bit. Okay. I need a sixth grader to tell me sovereignty. Sovereignty, that big word sovereignty. Is there a sixth grader that can help me understand the word sovereignty when we say God is sovereign? None? Not a single sixth grader? Is there a sixth grader that can tell me someone who is sovereign? The occupation starts with the letter K. This person is always sovereign. If you're one of these, you are sovereign. Starts with the letter K. Starts with the letter K. You know it? All right, let's go try the sixth grader first. I can't hear you. A kindred spirit? No, not a kindred spirit. No, not a kindred spirit. Starts with the letter K, and it has four letters. That'll help us. No, 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 no. It's an occupation. Kind is not an occupation. A king, that's right, a king. A king is sovereign. A king is sovereign. That means when the king says it, do you have a choice in doing it? No, you do it because the king is the boss. God is sovereign. God is in charge. God is sovereign and God is in charge. So let's look at chapter number 1, verse number 1. Chapter number 1, verse number 1. Chapter number 1, verse number 1. We've got two proper nouns in verse 1. Who are they? Who are the nouns? Who are the subjects? There's a subject and there's another one. There's two proper nouns in that verse. Who are they? Lord and Jonah, that's right. Lord and Jonah. Now, between the Lord and Jonah, who is in charge? Between the Lord and Jonah, who's in charge?
Lord.
The Lord is in charge. And so right away we see that the word of the Lord came to Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. And Jonah was supposed to go to where? Jonah was supposed to go to where? He was supposed to go to Nineveh. Now, why in the world was Jonah supposed to go to Nineveh? Here's a picture of what Nineveh may have looked like in that day. It was a giant city. A giant city. Wall. They had indoor plumbing in that city. They had actually, Mr. Whiting, they had actually piped water from 50 miles away into the city. 50 miles away. They'd actually invented sewer disposal systems in Nineveh. It was a highly advanced city. This is Nineveh. Now, why in the world does Jonah need to go to Nineveh? Is there a great mall and he needs to do shopping? Is that why Jonah is going to Nineveh? Fourth grade. Is that why Jonah's going to Nineveh?
No.
No, not at all. All right. So help me. You're going to have to help me preach this. Why is Jonah going to Nineveh? They're wicked. That's right. They're wicked. So now already we've got to go back to our scoreboard. We have already identified one for sovereignty. And why did I score one for sovereignty?
Because the Lord told Jonah.
That's right. The Lord told Jonah. You guys are getting it. You are going in. Now there's another one that we need to score. And what is it up there? Which one do we need to score? Between justice and love, what do we need to score? We need to score justice. Why do we need to score justice right now? Why do we need to score justice? Think, sixth graders. I don't think you're thinking this morning. Let's get our brains in gear. Why do we need to score justice?
Because he's punishing them.
Is he punishing them? Has he already punished them? He's going to punish them. He sees their what? He sees their wickedness. Can God ignore sin?
No.
God cannot ignore sin. So we see right away God's sovereignty. Jonah, you go there. God's justice. I can't ignore sin. But we also see God's love or mercy. Tell me, how do we see God's love or mercy in that? How do we see that?
Because he's sending somebody to help them, and he's giving them the chance to repent.
Man, you guys have got it. They are learning. They are learning. So right away, in the first verse of the book of Jonah, we see God's sovereignty. He's in charge. Jonah, you're going to the city. I can't ignore their wickedness anymore, but I am not going to punish them right away. I am going to give them a chance to, starts with the letter R,
repent.
Oh, you've got it. This is almost a waste of time. I probably need to sit down in the bleachers and let somebody else come up here and take over for me. So, let's finish the story. Jonah went right to Nineveh. They repented, and everything was ended happily ever after.
No, not at all.
No, it was quite the opposite. It was about miserable. So let's start with our volunteers. The first volunteer I need is a boy that is willing to be prejudiced, racist, hateful, disobedient, and a wicked sinner. All right, come right here, you prejudiced, racist sinner. Come right over here. Stand right here. All right. All right, what is your name?
Jonathan.
No. You are now Jonah. What is your name?
Jonah.
What is your name?
Jonah.
All right, welcome, Jonah, to our sermon. So here's our map. This is where Jonah is supposed to go, Nineveh, north. Instead, Jonah goes just the opposite, pulls out his handy-dandy Boy Scout compass, and travels south to Joppa. South to Joppa. From Joppa, he's going to get on something and go away. So I need 6 volunteers. Let's do it real simply. 2 from the 4th grade, a boy and girl from the 4th grade, boy and girl from the 4th grade. How many letters in the word gospel? Oh my goodness, you had to count. All right, let's go quickly. I'll give you a second chance. How many? Another 4th grade boy. Another 4th grade. No, that's a girl. Are you a girl?
Yes.
All right, sit down. 4th grade boy, come right here. Sit right there. All right, 5th grade. 5th grade. Yes, sir, come right now. Yes, ma'am, come right now. Right here. No, quickly. All right, 6th grade. Right there. And I need to. All right, yeah, come on, let's go right now. Quickly. Right there. All right, good. All right. Stand over here. Come on, Jonah, get over here. 6th grade's right here. Very good. 6th grade's right here. All right, let's get it together. Sit down, put your imagination on. Let's go. I'm going to build a large wooden wall right around here. It's going to come like that. I'm going to build another large wooden wall. It's going to come down here. They're going to meet in the middle. And I have just made a... A what? What have I just made?
Oh.
Okay, I've got a wall right here. What have I just made? A cargo ship. Very good, a cargo ship. This is my cargo ship. And where are we this morning? We are in what city?
Joppa.
We're in Joppa. That's right, we're in Joppa, and I am the captain of the ship. Would you like to travel on my ship? We are going to where?
Joppa.
We're at Joppa. Where are we going? All right, very good. Would you like to travel on my ship? It'll cost you something. Do you have any money?
No.
Oh, then you can't travel on my ship. The fact of the matter is Jonah did have money, and he took his money, bought him on the ship, and he was not part of the crew, so there's your spot right there. Interestingly enough, Jonah went right down and went to what?
Sleep.
All right, look at me, please. Look at me. From this point forward, you are no longer students at Brand Baptist Academy. You are now sailors. You are now sailors. You are sailors, and you work for me. You are sailors, and you work for me. So where is my map? Since I'm the captain, I better know where we're going. We are en route way over here to what would be modern day Spain. Modern day Spain is right there, jetting out there. We're going to Tarsus. All right, let's look at our Bible. Verse number 2. Let's see. The great wickedness, we saw that already. Let's look down at verse number 4. Let's look at verse 4. Tell me what happens in verse 4. In verse 4, what happens?
The great wind.
Okay, where does that... Read the whole verse, please, nice and loud.
But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken.
Okay, so we're ready to score. What do we need to score right now? What do we need to score, Ty? What do we need to score? We need to score justice. All right, do we also need to score anything else besides justice? Do we need to score anything else besides justice? How? How do we need to score sovereignty? Ty, how do we need to score sovereignty? Say that again. It says very clearly. What does the verse say? Stephen, read the verse again, please. Verse 4.
The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea.
So who sent the wind?
God.
God did. Is God in charge of the wind?
Yes.
All right, very good. And why did God send the wind? Why did God send the wind? Because of who's what? Yes, right there. Get over there. Because of him, right there. Because of his what?
Sin.
What kind of sin?
Disobedience.
That's right there. So we're going to score 2 for sovereignty. Justice is 2 and love is 1 so far. You follow me? Paying attention? All right, so now we need a storm. Now, only if you brushed your teeth this morning may you help. If you did not brush your teeth this morning, then keep your mouth closed. We are getting ready to create a great wind. Getting ready to create a great wind. So join me right now. Take a deep breath. Deeper, deeper. And blow. From now on, we will have mouthwash before chapel. From now on, we will use mouthwash before chapel. Woo! So, sailors, there is a great tempest going on. Please begin panicking. All right. The sailors are panicking, and they are heathens, and they begin to call out to their own what?
Gods.
Their own gods. And they're all panicking because they're going to lose their
lives.
Interestingly enough, during a great storm, Jonah is sound asleep. You know what? If you put your thinking cap on and you begin to think and you remember that God sent Jesus and Jesus was on a boat sound asleep in the middle of a storm just like that too. Suddenly what we realize is that this story is not about Jonah. This story is about God sending someone to people to save them from their sin. Suddenly we realize, Mr. Howe, that this story is about the gospel right here. That these 4 chapters are not about a fish. They're not about Jonah. They're not about Nineveh. That really, these 4 chapters are all about God's great love for humanity. So, we pray, they pray, all the gods are being called out to, but it doesn't work because they haven't addressed the one true God. The captain of the ship goes down and says, get up, wake up, you, wake up. Start praying to your God. Who's your God? And start praying to your God, we're going to die. Okay? So he begins praying. But he knows something that we don't know. He knows something that we don't know. What is it that you know that we don't know? I don't know it. The sailors don't know. What is it that you know that I don't know? That you are the reason this storm is. So right away, he offers what?
His life.
He offers his life. But you know what? The captain of the ship and the other Gentiles, they think he might be innocent, and they are very concerned about throwing an innocent person overboard. You know what? Listen, sixth grade. Listen. I remember Pontius Pilate was very concerned about crucifying an innocent man. Very concerned about crucifying innocent men. In fact, he offered an alternative, and the alternative was a man by the name of
Barabbas.
And do you know what? In this story, look at me. Don't worry about the construction over there. Look at me. In this story, the captain is not quick to throw Jonah overboard because he knows that that's murder. And so instead, he directs the sailors to ditch the cargo. So get rid of the cargo, sailors. so they throw the cargo overboard. Just like Pontius Pilate offered the Jews an alternative. The cargo became the first thing. But that doesn't satisfy the wrath of God. That doesn't satisfy the wrath of God. That doesn't satisfy God. Does the storm continue according to the story? Look at me, students. Does the storm continue?
Yes.
Yes, it does. So now it comes time to figure out whether he's really the cause of the problem or not. So they cast what?
Lots.
They cast lots. Let me explain to you how this works. Look at me. You're going to need to look. You're learning right now. There are six straws, Mr. Whiting, that all have a white cap on that like that. There's one straw that does not. The captain of the ship, trusting that God is in charge, score one for his what?
Sovereignty.
His sovereignty. Score one for his sovereignty. Decides that God is capable of directing the lots. And that God will show us who is the problem. Even though this man has admitted that he's the problem, the captain is not comfortable throwing an innocent man overboard until God shows him. So they cast lots. They cast lots. Now, when everyone draws a straw, somebody will end up with the straw that doesn't have the white cap. And that's the way that they believe that God will reveal who the problem is. So they begin casting lots. Draw a straw. Now, obviously, the straws are all the same, and no one can tell. Now, obviously, I'm not sovereign, so I can't make it work, Mr. House. And then he draws this one. And they realize that he's the problem. So at this point, the captain directs the sailors to throw the problem overboard. Do it. At this point, fifth grade, at this point, what happens to the storm?
It stops.
So I need to score something. What am I going to score? What am I going to score? The storm calms down, Stephen. The storm calms down, so they get to live. What am I going to score?
Love.
Okay, I'm going to score grace. Love. All right, I won't use that one again. All right. But wait a minute, is it just love? What else can I score again? Mr. Whiting, what else would you say scores? Sovereignty, because the storm stops. But I think we can score justice. And how do you think we can score justice?
Because he had justice for them believing.
For his disobedience. For his disobedience. Someone please tell me, you know the story. What's the very next thing that happens in the story? The very next thing that happens. Someone who's not answered. Yes, sir. It's not a whale. It's a great fish. It's a great fish. And so we'll call it that, a great fish. God sends a great fish to swallow. Right? Stop. I need to go back to my scoreboard. What are we going to score right now? All right, sovereignty, because God sent the fish. But what else?
Love.
We already scored justice when he threw him over. What
love.
Why love? Hold on, listen. Why love? Everyone listen. Why love? How is God showing love to Jonah? How is God showing love to Jonah? That's right. There's no Coast Guard in those days. He doesn't have any life-preserving things. If God hadn't sent a great fish to swallow him, he would have died. So score one for love. Jonah, come on over here. Stand right here. Sailors, you've done a great job. You're done. Thank you. Return to your seats. You may keep the straws. We're done. All right. Please go back to your seats very quietly. At this point, every one of you are now Jonah, and you're inside a great fish. And you know that you're inside a great fish because you did not do what the Lord told you to do. So, Jonah, what do you think that you would immediately begin doing if you were inside a great fish and it was dark in there and it was nasty and it was filthy and it was wet? What do you think you would begin doing?
Crying, mommy, and praying.
Right. Hopefully, you're a big enough man that you don't cry, mommy. But instead, you pray to God. So if you look at your Bible, please look at chapter 2. Look at chapter 2. Everyone looking at chapter 2, please. Let's look at the very beginning of it. Then Jonah prayed. Then Jonah prayed. What does verse number 2 say? I need a volunteer to read verse 2. Yes, ma'am. Nice and loud.
And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice.
Now the reason we know that Jonah is a picture of Jesus Christ is because when the Jews were asking for a sign, what did Jesus tell them? What did Jesus tell them? Who can remember what Jesus told them when they were asking for a sign? Anybody? Yes, ma'am? No idea? Jesus told those Jews, Ty, you remember? What is it? Okay. Jesus said, in the same way that Jonah was 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights. Amazing. Amazing. Said the same thing. Jonah was 3 days and three nights, and I too will be 3 days and three nights in the earth. Same thing. So, Jonah begins to pray unto the Lord, and God directs the fish to spit him out on the beach.
Ew.
All right, see if I have a picture of that.
Cool.
All right, so at this point, we've got to go back to our scoreboard. We've got to go back to our scoreboard. What do we need to score at this point? Grace. Because God heard his prayer and answered.
Sovereignty.
And sovereignty for what reason? He told the fish what to do. You guys are getting it. You are getting it. Chapter 3, please. Chapter 3, please. Can I get a volunteer to read verse number 1, please? Nice and loud. Who has not read? Have you read? Go ahead, nice and loud. Verse 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. Nice and loud. Yes, go ahead.
Noah preaches at Nineveh, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying.
The word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time. A second time. What do I need to score right now with that idea of the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time? A second time. Sovereignty for sure, the word of the Lord again, but there's something else I need to score. Why love?
Because he loved him enough to go back and tell him what to do.
He loved him enough to give him a what chance?
Second chance.
Ms. Smith, I am so glad that God is a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances and sixth chances. So, I need a new volunteer that did not get selected before. I'd like to have a boy volunteer. I'm sorry that there's all the way in the back. Yes, sir, your name is? Andre, come on, let's go very quickly. The word of the Lord comes to you. Go back to Nineveh. tell those people that they need to repent. If they do not repent, I'm going to judge them for their sin. Come on over here. Sit right here in my official throne seat. You are now, sir, the king of Nineveh. The king of Nineveh. You've just been promoted. Excellent. That is definitely a kingly picture. Nineveh is a huge city. A large city. It takes 3 days to walk around Nineveh and get to everyone. It's a walled city. It's a giant city. Nineveh, Jonah enters the city and he begins to preach about the need to, start with the letter R, to repent. To repent of their wickedness. To repent of their wickedness. To repent of their wickedness. The king from his throne gets word that there's a prophet in the city that's talking about judgment and wickedness, and he calls for Jonah to see him. Jonah, this is your chance to tell the king what God told you to tell him. Go ahead and do it.
God says you need to repent.
Okay, you have to say it louder, Jonah.
God says you need to repent.
God says you need to repent. All right, thank you very much. Jonah goes back and keeps preaching. God does an amazing work in the heart of the king. An amazing work. And the king, according to the Bible, believed God. The king believed God. The king believed God. So let's look at our Bible, please. Let's look at verse number 5 in chapter number 3. Verse 5 in chapter number 3. And let's get a volunteer. Yes, sir. Come right over here and read. Right over here. Yes, sir. I want you to read chapter number 3, verse number 5.
So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, but on the sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them.
The people, what did they do? They believed God. And when they believed God, the proof that they believed God is they put on what?
Sackcloth.
All right, what is this whole idea of sackcloth? Someone tell me what this idea of sackcloth is.
That you are lower than God.
That you are lower than God. That's right. That you understand that you have sin in your life and that there's a need to repent. So let's get this right. Jonah, are you thrilled that the people repented? Is Jonah excited about that? Is he glad that the people repented?
No.
No.
Sort of.
No.
No.
Not even close. The fact of the matter is, Jonah is a racist. He doesn't like the Syrians. He doesn't like the Ninevites. He cannot believe that they did this. In fact, he goes into a pity party and begins pouting about the fact that they actually believed the message and that God did not judge them. In fact, Jonah says stuff like, I knew that you were a gracious God. I knew that you were a loving God. I knew that you were a kind God. I knew that you were a compassionate God. I knew that if those people repented, that you were not going to judge them. So he leaves the city and he goes outside the city and he builds a shelter of sorts, some sticks. Let me see if I have a picture of it. This is what it might have looked like. It might have been some kind of wooden shelter, just some sticks to try to provide a little bit of shade as he goes out there and he begins to pout and to have his little pity party. He cannot believe that the people repented. He's exasperated with the fact that they did not get judged. He didn't like them. He wanted them judged. And God, overnight, grows a massive plant up and over him like this. Maybe it latches onto the shelter. Let's go. Let's score one. What are we going to score now? Let's talk.
Sovereignty,
because he's in charge of plants.
Love and grace.
Love and grace because of why?
Because
He gave him a shelter.
He gave him shelter. That's right. Gave him shelter. Do you know that this massive plant coming up, providing shade for Jonah, did not change his attitude one bit? It did not change his attitude. It did not affect his attitude. He did not realize, look at me, sixth grade, he did not realize that that was all an example of God's love. He didn't plant that gourd or that plant. He didn't water that thing. He can't make something grow that quick overnight like that. And he, seeing God's love for him, should have motivated him to get his act together and to get his attitude right. But did it?
No,
not a bit. Not a bit. So the next night, God sends what? Raise your hand if you know what happens next, because you know your Bible. God sends, yes, sir. God sends a worm. And what does the worm do? He eats the plant. So let's stop right now. Go back to our scoreboard. What are we going to score? Which one?
Sovereignty.
And what else?
Justice.
Sovereignty and justice. The worm comes, consumes that plant. And do you know what happens next? They start having a conversation. God and Jonah start having a conversation. And God asks Jonah, what are you so angry about? What are you so angry about? What is your problem, human being? Don't you see that I am a loving, kind, compassionate God? That I showed you kindness? That I showed you compassion? And you know, he just doesn't get it right. Jonah doesn't change. It's an abrupt ending to the story. In fact, we're shocked at the way the story ends. We were hoping that Jonah would see God's love and repent. But you know what? It doesn't end that way. It doesn't. Let's look at the very end of the chapter. God talks to him about the plant. God talks to him about the worm. God has this conversation. God sends an amazing wind in justice to rebuke him for his attitude and his prejudice and his racism. And then there's this abrupt ending to the story. There's this abrupt ending. I need someone to read verse number 10, please. Yes, ma'am. Nice and loud. Nice and loud.
And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them.
All right, that's in chapter 3. Now jump to chapter 4 and read verse 4. Chapter 10. Verse 10, chapter 4, sorry.
Then said the Lord, thou hast pity on the Gourd. For the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night.
All right, let's look at what God said to him. He said, I don't understand you, Jonah. You have more pity for a green plant than for people. You are more sad about the plant than the people that could have perished. Now, tell me, students, why is it that Jonah is more concerned about the plant than the people? It was his shelter, and why did he want it to stay up? Because he's what? What? No, he wasn't grateful. He might have been grateful for a few minutes, but we saw his what? Starts with the letter S.
Sin.
It's a sin, but let's be more specific. What kind of sin?
Selfishness.
It's selfishness. That's exactly right. It's selfishness. The end of the chapter. Look at the very end of the chapter. Everyone look at the last verse. Verse 11. Are you going to read it? Can you read it nice and loud? Because if we haven't had a loud read, I need a loud reader. Go ahead.
And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 64,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?
All right, stop. What is that verse all about? Where are we going on our scoreboard? Where are we going on our scoreboard with that verse right there? He said, you're more concerned about a plant. And God says to Jonah, shouldn't I spare this city? Now the King James has a little bit of awkwardness there in math. We don't normally talk about that. How many people are in that verse, Mr. Whiting? How many people are in that verse? It's a little bit awkward.
64,000.
Yeah, so how many is that? Six score. Score is 20. Six times 20 is? 120,000. And God says, these people don't even know their left hand from their right hand. Now that's a metaphor. Does anyone have any idea what that metaphor is all about when God says they don't even know their left hand from their right hand? Anybody have any idea what that metaphor is all about? Yes, ma'am.
You don't know anything? They're dumb?
Not that they're dumb. He's not saying that they're dumb. That's not what he's communicating. No, he's not communicating their education. That's not what it is. Left and right represent two other words. The words are good and good and evil. That's right. And God's saying these people are still these children, these young adults. They're so immature. They don't know the difference between good and evil at this point. And you want me to kill them? You want me to wipe out 120,000 small children? And then besides the small children, what else does God make reference to in the verse? The cattle. What's the word cattle representing?
Cows.
All the living animals in the city. So what is the last thing we see? What is the last thing we see of these three? What is the last thing?
Love.
How is it justice?
Love.
What do we see? What's the very last thing it closes out with? God's what?
Love.
God's amazing love. Thank you very much, King. You may go back to your seat. The next time you think about the story of Jonah, the next time you watch it on VeggieTales with one of your brothers and sisters, let me give you some instructions. The next time you watch it with one of your younger brothers and sisters, the next time you're in Sunday school and the story of Jonah comes up, I want you to remember that the story of Jonah is all about God. God's amazing love, God's amazing sovereignty, God's amazing justice. We're almost done. Give me one more minute of your attention. Just 60 seconds. Just 60 seconds. Do you know that that's what the gospel is? That's what the gospel is. The gospel is an amazing story about God's justice. How God's justice? Because sin cannot be ignored. Because sin has to be punished. How did God punish sin? How did God punish sin in the gospel? Stephen, how did God punish sin in the gospel? Who did he punish? Who did he punish in the gospel? Who did he punish?
God.
He punished God. God punished God. God punished the Son of God. So all about what?
Justice.
But is it just justice?
No.
It's not just justice. What else is it?
Love.
It's all about love. All about love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. So the next time you think about Jonah, the next time you think about a great fish, I want you, fourth grade, I want you, fifth grade, sixth graders, because you are the wisest in this group, I want you to immediately remember the gospel. Let's pray. Lord, on this Friday that we typically remember and think about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I pray that these students see how Jonah is a picture of Jesus Christ and how Jonah was sent by God with a message that Jonah was offered up as a sacrifice, that Jonah was resurrected and spit out on a beach. That because of Jonah's throwing into the sea, his death, his illustrative death, because of his time in the belly of a whale, because of his resurrection, the illustration of the resurrection, spitting up on the shore, because of the preaching of a message of repentance and faith in God, that a city was saved from destruction. I pray, dear God, that these students would see how Jonah is a picture of Jesus Christ. Amen.